Welcome to Things That Will Help with Buffy Barfoot. This podcast explores what it's like to be human and how to find tools to feel clear, grounded, and happier. The weekly theme will be simple as well as rich and something you can apply to your real life. The human stories ahead do not negate the hard or the dark, but rather point to the lighthouses along the way. This is Buffy. Hey, everybody. I hope y'all are well and happy and okay in this wild world that we're in right now. I think I should place a trigger warning on this episode. I talk here and there in this next half hour about suicide and abuse and folks who might be very lonely and misunderstood. So as always, take care of you. And if you need to sit this one out, please listen to your inner wisdom on that. I have been thinking about rage for a little bit, specifically as it relates to oppression and repression and things being bottled up. So stemming from the spaces of not allowed to tell the truth or share the truth or live out loud in honesty, rage that comes from not feeling held and heard. There is a special kind of sacred that comes from this kind of rage because it is one out of dark tunnels of grief and not being listened to and believed properly. I remember when I felt it first as sacred, though I don't think, I remember the time period, not the particular moment, but the time period where I felt that first. And I don't think I would have used the word sacred at that time, but I can recognize that that's what it was. And I guess I should say, I remember when I was given permission for it. And Sinead O'Connor was one of the artists who granted me that. I have a visceral memory of lacing up my combat boots in my room, getting ready to face another day of high school. And the school that I went to in high school was incredible in many ways. It was incredible for academics. It was one of the best in the state of Alabama. And I feel lucky to have gotten to go there for an education. But it lacked in safe places for people like me, kind of lost souls trying to figure out who we were as artists and as misfits. But I remember when I would see Sinead sing and listen to her voice, and I could transport myself to a safe place when I was permitted to be myself. And I'm sure you've heard, but if you haven't heard, Sinead O'Connor was found dead in her London apartment last week, and she was only 56. And I felt something inside me break when I learned of her death. But I also felt something inside of me remember, because she gave me a sort of permission. And I know so many folks at that time, she gave us permission for sacred rage. She reflected us and she made room for us to emerge as exactly who we were and who we are. And so many years later, she's still teaching me, I think, who I am. There's so much injustice here in this human place. And I think so many times our rage is too late. We become enraged at school shootings after the children have died. And then we hashtag all over social media about the injustice of it all. And it doesn't move the needle. You know, our hot breath after the gun has cooled down doesn't change anything backwards or forwards, even though our intentions are good. We become enraged about all the trans kids who are suffering and suicidal because they only want a safe place to be inside their skin, but they can't seem to find safe harbor in this wounded world. You know, hashtag save those kids. But our rage is too late for some of them. You know, our rage is far too late for angels like Matthew Shepard, who died at the hands of rage that was never sacred. and these school shootings, the rage that was never sacred. And so I've been swimming inside this question, what distinguishes rage that is harmful versus rage that is sacred? And I asked a dear friend of mine what she thought about it, because I couldn't find the words or the distinction. Because I know that rage can be important and essential at times, while other times it can be so destructive and so harmful. And Cheyenne, my friend who I asked, sat together yesterday. And when I asked her, she said, "Oh, yes, I've been thinking about this too." And I said to her, "What do you think puts it in the sacred pile?" And she said, she's so wise. And she said, "I think it's a couple of things." She said, "I think it's responsibility, when we can claim it and name it and give it form and voice. And two," she said, "when we're willing to move it and transform it so that it doesn't harm anyone once we've taken responsibility for it." And that felt so right to me and so articulate. And then we both shared something. I shared my heaviness about Sinead that I was feeling, and Cheyenne talked about something she was in the middle of. And then referring to my sadness about Sinead O'Connor, she said, "I can hold that for you." And then she stopped and she corrected herself and she said, "Actually, I can help you move that. Let's move it together." We were in the middle of a coffee shop and we both just, we breathed, we moved it. We said, "Let's move it." And it ignited this gorgeous conversation about, instead of holding something for ourselves and each other, the next iteration is to move it. Let's move through it. Let's carry it to the other shore and watch it transform as it moves. And it feels like in that journey comes the sacred. So responsibility, no harm to others, and the ability to move and transform it so that it changes and so that it doesn't remain stagnant in your brain and in your body and in your language. The conversations we have now, the art we make today, all of us, the permissions we give ourselves and other humans that are standing around, it is so important that we make room for them to have legs and shake out, that we see where hurt and abuse is festering, and we tear down those cages of isolation, because everybody, every single person alive has a primal need for belonging. It doesn't matter what their diagnosis is. It doesn't matter what the labels prescribed are and have been. Every human essentially is here to find connection and belonging. That's what's really driving us all, is it not? And I think, I've been thinking about this so much, there's nothing more spiritual than that. Nothing. So if you're praying and singing with people of your kind, but later that same day, you bully and belittle someone who doesn't believe the same things as you, that comes out of fear that you don't see yourself in them, then check your dharma and your dogma. Your prayers are empty and they're not welcome here if they are only for straight white kids, if they are only for the ones who are not weird, if they are only for the ones that are attending your churches. There is nothing more spiritual than making room for the humans who are here to be welcomed and unharmed, and to be able to soar in whoever they are. There's nothing closer to God than that. Because when Sinead O'Connor tore up the picture of the Pope, she was telling us that she needs us. She was telling us that she's so deeply hurt by the very institution that claimed to save her and protect her. She was such a rare bird with the most unique colors, singing. She was asking for our help, and the industry and our culture as a whole let her down. #too fucking late. History doesn't support abuse victims coming forward, especially when the abuse has been at the hands of powerful institutions like the Catholic Church or like Hollywood royalty and other powerhouses like that. The ones harmed historically have not been believed or supported to tell the truth. And when they have talked about it, then they've been sort of hidden away, most of them. Like Sinead, her career crashed in the traditional sense after she tore up that picture on Saturday Night Live. Just a symbol of what she was moving through. It was a cry for help, for support, to be seen. And how she was claiming her truth and sacred clarity. I mean, what a beacon. And she was right the whole time. And she was moving it through her body and making it art. She was moving it, y'all. And it was sacred. You know, I wonder how we can start to help people when they are here, rather than just glorifying them after they have gone. When they are here and still able to have the wind blow through them, the breath blow through them, when they are still able to be surprised with healing and with wonder, when they can still feel belonging. There's something for all of us here. We all know these wounded birds, and many of us are these wounded birds, these beautiful humans looking for a place to nest and to breathe easier. We do have this really weird, strange cycle of finding the genius and artistry more after somebody has tragically died, when they aren't here to know, to really know how people felt or answer with their own politics and flavor, to be able to feel that reflection and that belonging. Social media and its fast, just really scary fast turnover cycle is just made an empty performative playground of this, unfortunately. So what helps? What do we do? I don't know. I'm trying to breathe something into this. But today, I'm feeling low about this. My heart feels kind of broken about all of this, about these birds that we keep losing from loneliness and isolation and fear of not belonging, among other things. And so I believe that there is a collective guilt and responsibility. When this happens, I believe there is more we could have done as a society. We must learn how to take care of the people who are brave enough to speak out and to be fully themselves, fully embodied, no matter the cost. We must be brave enough to not only make room for them and their art, but to come forward with our own. And then let the sacred rage burn when it's relevant. And I wonder what else we can do. I think now there needs to be new ways to address trauma and mental health struggles before these beautiful lights get extinguished, before they give up, and before it's too late. We have to watch and listen before it happens. So many lonely hearts, so many misunderstood people out there in their bedrooms right now, alone, contemplating leaving this earth because it seems as if there's no way out. There is always a way out. And we have to make space and imagination for these beautiful lights. We have to point for them because they can't see it if they're in the middle of this. And I don't know the answer, but I know that we have to keep talking about it. We have to keep moving it. And when people rage aloud and in public because they have been mistreated and abused, we need to listen, attend, soothe, ground, and allow. And for goodness sakes, can we walk with them as they travel? Can we let them rest on our arms when they get tired and feel the collective support and not feel abandoned? These precious days we have are already so short. So heavy my heart is today with all of these thoughts. Okay, so let me move it with you. Here's something. Here's something that feels light. The light, humanity, and glory that comes from such loss can help people remember and soften and melt together. People tribute and memorialize. And I do believe that helps. And it helps to sing. And the art that comes out of tragic loss is a special kind of sacred too. And what we remember about ourselves when something has happened is really special. So many ways to get to the temple. So many ways to get to the temple. So how do we move it? We use the breath. Literally, we breathe deeper, more audibly. We start to pay attention to how we are breathing, and we teach ourselves to breathe deeper and slower and with more attention. We actually stand up off the couch and we move our stagnant bodies. We dance, shake, audibly sigh, bounce. We bounce and shake and sigh and repeat and repeat. And we normalize doing this in the middle of a conversation that is hard or in the center of a coffee shop while we're waiting for our coffee with our friend. We move it that way, or at the airport, awaiting for our time to board. Move your body, move your rage, move your questions aloud. Oh, and parents, you don't have to wait until your prescribed exercise hour or until your kids are asleep. Move with them. You know, when they're having a fit about something hard, if the sandwich wasn't cut in the way they had hoped. Coretta now likes triangle sandwiches, and oh Lord have mercy if I forget. Oh my gosh. So stand with them if things don't go their way and audibly sigh and breathe and teach them how to move it through. These are some of the most beautiful tools that you can give kids. And listen, don't just keep it to kids. Do this with your friends. Help your friends. When your neighbor comes over to bitch about her grumpy, cheating husband, move with her, shake with her, tell her that you'll help her move it and scream it and transform it, and that she's not alone in the journey. Thank you. Thank you, my sweet friend Cheyenne, for reminding me of this and for moving things with me. So that's the thing. Our loneliness gets stuck in the room and we keep it there where no one else lives and sees, and we think it's all our own instead of holding it together as a community. And I think we have to normalize this beautiful communion of shared weight. It's kind of like if we're all holding one of the corners, like of a heavy piece of furniture, it doesn't feel as much like a burden. It doesn't feel as heavy if everybody has a corner. You know, and I sense and do hope that we're traveling into a more collective and collaborative time. I personally and artistically, and I think it's the only way we're going to survive, is to create constellations instead of relying on our own little singular star to light the way. To get through this human stuff, I think we have to start sharing the weight with one another and transform it together in that way. Through breath, art, sacred rage, quiet rest, medicine provided by each person's very different offering. And of course, the secret to all of it, which is trust. So listen, allow, move, transform, and then keep repeating that. So much love to all. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. There is a 24 hours a day, open all the time, suicide and crisis hotline. You just dial 988. That's all you have to dial is 988. And there will be someone on the line to speak with you. My patron of honor for this episode is just a really dear, bright light human, Kristen Schneck. I met her years ago when I was leading an advanced teacher training in yoga, and she was just the light of the room. She's so energetic and helpful, and one of those women who's always championing other people. And I am just so glad that she's under the same moon as me, even though I haven't seen her in a number of years. Kristen is a mother to two teenage humans and a golden retriever. She is also a full spectrum doula, a yoga teacher, and a good friend who hopes to leave the world better than she found it. You can find her on Instagram, and we're going to put her handle in the show notes if you want to find her. I guarantee you that if you need a doula, she is fantastic, and I can speak to her yoga teaching as well. She is the real deal, and she's also really fun to follow on Instagram. Her favorite quote is, "This sky where we live is no place to lose your wings, so love, love, love." Hafiz. Beautiful. Thanks especially to all of my patrons and everyone listening. So much love.